Still? Okay. Thank you, God. Where did I go? Rocky Mountain House. Last week, I left on Monday, came back on Thursday, and we were in meetings that Dave McGrew had called, and it was to discuss the Word of God with some other ministers in a room for 12 hours a day. He sent the schedule, and the schedule was from 9 till 9, we would be sitting in a room discussing the Word, which is awesome, but it's exhausting when you're, you know, mentally sitting there discussing deep things. But thankfully, it wasn't for 12 hours. He cut it short, but it was a great time. Joan drove me, and thank goodness she did, because I'm not the world's most confident driver in the winter. In the summer, I will run you over, no problem. But in the, yeah, so in the winter, I'm not confident. And I had been looking ahead at the weather, and I was like, it looked like there was snowfall. Was not happy about that. So Joan drove. And the day we were getting, we skipped out early. The meetings went for an extra day. It's ringing, hey? I don't know if you know that. And so we skipped out a day early because I had to get back to work. And so we get up in the morning. We knew that there was a snowfall warning. We got up in the morning. We were, I don't know, on the second floor, third floor. And we looked out to see how much snow, and we're like, oh, it's not that bad. There's not that much snow, so we're good. And we came downstairs, and of course we didn't have a snow brush because my daughter stole mine from my car. So we get outside, and Joan borrows a snow brush from the front desk at the hotel. We go outside, and there's like this much snow on the top of our car. So wipe that off, and then our windshield wipers break, which is a problem because it's blowing snow and we can't go on the highway with broken windshield wipers. So Joan finds the piece. She tries to fix it, and she's like, well, hopefully it holds. We don't know. And then we're driving to go get gas, and she pops a piece of gum in her mouth and says, I'm going to chew this gum, and then I'm going to stick the piece from the broken windshield wiper back together. I was like, settle down, MacGyver. Like, but luckily, we pulled up to the gas station, and we were right next door to Speedy Glass. So then I went over there and asked if they were able to switch our windshield wipers. They said yes, and it was great, and we were on our way. So it was awesome. But yeah, Joan. She like, grabs a piece of gum. She's like, I'm just going to chew this. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's awesome. Anyways, so we had a good time. We got back on Thursday night, and then it's just kind of been a whirlwind ever since. But one of the things that last week we talked about fasting, and we read from Mark 9. And there was something while I was studying fasting, there was something in Mark 9 that had jumped out at me. And I kind of thought about it all week. And so we're going to start back at Mark 9. And I, in the Passion Translation, in Mark 9, we have the Father. For those of you that weren't here, the Father, Son was possessed, and he brought the Son to Jesus. And he says, you know, the disciples couldn't heal my son, Jesus. If you're able to, can you heal my son? And what stuck out to me was, in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if? If you're able to believe, all things are possible. And all week, that's what went around in my head. What do you mean if? What do you mean if? In a The NIV in verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. In other words, I do believe Jesus, but I don't believe. How many of us can look and identify with that? I do believe, but there's something in me that has doubts. I do believe Jesus. Help my unbelief. In other words, I do have faith for it, but I have unbelief. I heard a minister say this one, the problem isn't the absence of your faith, it's the presence of unbelief. You have faith. You have faith. Unbelief will counterbalance and short-circuit your faith. Your problem is not that you don't have enough faith. You have enough faith. The problem is you have too much unbelief. I forgot to give the media scripture verses. I apologize. So Galatians 2:20, I'm going to read like six verses right back to back. But Galatians 2:20, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of his new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. 2 Peter 1:11. This letter is from Simeon, Peter, a loving servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to those who have been given a faith as equally precious as ours through the righteousness of God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Have been given a faith as equally as precious as ours. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Everyone has been given faith. Mark 11:23. All right, side note. Is Katie here? No? Really? Who knows this song? Mark 11:23 is real to me. And right next door, Mark 11:24. These are the words of Jesus. Divine authority, and my authority. Mark 11:24. Last night, the girls were, what are you preaching on? And I started singing the song. And they stared at me like, what is that? I'm like, that's a song we used to sing. And they were like, no, you didn't. Nobody would have sung that song. It's like, no, we did. We sang that song. It's like, nope. And I'm like, FaceTime Auntie Lisa right now. So they FaceTime Auntie Lisa. And Lisa's on the thing. She's like, what? Because it's Lisa. What? And I'm like, Mark 11:23. And she's like, Israel to me. What? The girls were like, no! Anyways, I'm sorry, that was a side note. Mark 11:23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Does not doubt, but believes. Luke 17:5-6. Upon hearing this, the apostle said to Jesus, Lord, you must increase our measure of faith. Jesus responded, If you have even the smallest measure of authentic faith, it would be powerful enough to say to this large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you into the sea, and it will respond to your faith and obey you. So it's safe to say we have all been given faith. I just wanted to lay those grounds. We all have been given a measure of faith, enough faith to move mountains. Our issue is our unbelief. Our issue is our unbelief that we go to God, we speak with God, or we look at our circumstances as if you're able to do this, God. If we go from past experiences of when we never got our answer, why did this happen, or how come, so we drew our own conclusion, and now we stand there with, if you're able to do this, God. And he says, what do you mean, if? Oh, I'm able. Are you able to believe?
Preach.
Yeah. Even Jesus in Mark 6, verses 5 to 6, he says, now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Okay, let's go into Mark 5:34. So, here we have Jairus. Some people say Jairus, but I went to school with a guy named Jairus, who was spelt like that, so I'm calling him Jairus. So we have Jairus. His daughter is ill. He comes to Jesus and to get Jesus to come with him to pray for his daughter, and he gets the lady with the issue of blood comes, and she goes to Jesus, she touches Jesus, and Jesus turns around, says, who touched me? And she says, I did, Jesus. And so then he says to her in Mark 5:34, then he said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Because you believed, your faith has healed you. When you believe, it sets your faith. It sets your faith free, able to do what it needs to do. When you have unbelief, your faith can't move mountains. So he says, because you believed. It's because you believed, your faith has healed you. So then he goes to Jairus, and he's like, all right, buddy, let's go. And everyone's talking now, and they're all like, she's dead. She's dead. There's no point, Jairus. Like, she's gone. You don't need Jesus anymore. She's dead. And Jesus says to Jairus in verse 36, but Jesus refused to listen to what they were told and said to the Jewish official, said to Jairus, don't yield to your fear. All you need to do is keep believing. Don't yield to your fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. So everyone's talking. Everyone's saying something. She's dead. She's gone. Jairus is, you know, okay, now it's too late. Now somebody stepped in front of me, and now my daughter's dead, and Jesus is like, listen to me. Don't yield to that. Don't yield to the fear. Don't yield to the thoughts. Don't yield to what other people are saying. All you need to do is keep believing. Look at me. Look at me. I'm here. All you need to do is keep on believing. I'm healer. I'm life. I'm life sustainer. All you need to do is keep on believing. No, 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 Jairus, don't yield to that. Don't listen. All you need to do is keep on believing. Unbelief is present when you're in fear, you're in worry, or you have the cares of life. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When you're in fear, you're in unbelief. When you're worried, you're in unbelief. And when you have cares, you're in unbelief. Let's look at Luke 1. So, Jesus was telling Jairus, don't yield to that fear. This could change things. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to it. Don't listen to what they're saying. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, she could have yielded to her fear in a lot of different areas, but she didn't. She just kept on believing, if I get to Jesus, if I get to Jesus. I mean, Peter, when he walked on the water, same thing. Walking, believing, fearing, sinking. Sinking. In Luke 1, we have Zechariah. And let's start with verse... We'll start with verse 5. During the reign of King Herod the Great over Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah who served the temple as part of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also from a family of priests, being a direct descendant of Aaron. They were both lovers of God, living virtuously and following the commandments of the Lord fully. But they were childless since Elizabeth was barren, and now they were both quite old. One day, while Zacharias' priestly order was on duty and he was serving as priest, it happened by the casting of lots, according to the custom of the priesthood, that the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. It is said that this happened once in their lifetime, that there was lots of priests, and so burning incense in the temple, this was a big thing, and it only happened one time in their life. So now it was Zechariah's time to show up at the temple and burn incense. A large crowd of worshipers had gathered to pray outside the temple at the hour when incense was being offered. All at once, an angel appeared to him, standing just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear, but the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you, for I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered." In the footnotes of this, that your prayer for your child has been answered, the footnote says that it could also mean that their prayer that they stopped praying a long time ago. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. And then he goes on to talk about this baby and how amazing this baby is going to be. Like, he's going to do all kinds of things. Imagine being Gabriel. Like, he is pumped. Like, I get to go and give some amazing news to this couple that have waited for a baby. They stopped praying for it. Now I get to show up and be like, guess what? Your time has come. Not only are you going to have a baby, you're going to have a baby, and this baby is going to be amazing. And so he goes on to tell him all the things that this baby is going to be. He's going to name him John. And then, verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this?" Can you imagine? You're in the temple, you're burning incense before God, an angel shows up, and it's not like it's an everyday occurrence because it scared him. So an angel shows up, he gets scared. The angel says some amazing things, and he says, "How do you expect me to believe that?" Well, I kind of came from God to tell you it, and okay. And he says, I'm an old man, and my wife is too old. Never say that about your wife. I'm an old man, and my wife is too old to give me a child. And then he says, what sign can you give me to prove this will happen? Can you give me some proof? What? How am I supposed to believe this? You said this. You said it's from God. Where's the proof? So Gabriel goes on to talk, and at the end of it, he says, the baby being born will be your proof. You know, the pregnancy will be your proof. You don't need a sign. You don't need a sign. You already have your proof. When she's pregnant, you'll have a sign. That'll be good. So he shuts his mouth. But what I wanted to show you is how many times do we have a word from God and we'll say, I'll believe it when I see it. You don't need a sign. You've been given a word from God. You know, we discussed it on this weekend too. David McGrew one time preached a message here that said, a lot of times God will give you a word or you'll get a prophecy or something like that. And we'll use this for instance, you will have a healing ministry. Well, you will probably go through something health-wise, and he's giving you a promise to get you through it. Listen, you may have some issues, but you have a promise that you've been given. Even if you haven't had a prophecy, the Bible is the word of God, is a word from God to you. Healing, health, wealth, prosperity, you're taken care of. So when you consider the promise, like Zechariah considered his problem more than he considered the promise. Gabriel was there delivering a promise to him, this is what's going to happen. But Zechariah was focusing on his problem. We're old. We stopped believing for that a long time ago. You know what? I've made peace with it in my heart. It's great. Like, I can't even attach my faith to that anymore. Like, we're so long gone. He focused on what his issue was, what his problem was. And when you focus on the problem, you go into unbelief, you go into fear. When you're focusing on your issue, on your problem. Romans 18:21, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. That's his promise, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't consider his own body. So we get into considering what the issue is, considering what our problem is, considering that I have lack, considering that my issue is too big to solve myself, considering things that we don't need to be considering when we've been given a promise from God. So we consider the problem instead of the promise that God gave us to hold on to get us to the next place. And we get into unbelief. We consider what happened in previous times. We saw somebody die. I'm considering things that have happened before, and so then when I stand here and God says, I am healer, but I'm considering that this happened before, I consider the problem, and I'm in unbelief. And what's Jesus saying? Jairus, don't give in to your fear. Don't let the fear speak louder than the promise. All you need to do is keep believing. What do you mean if? What do you mean if? If you're able to believe it, all things are possible. You need to keep your eyes on me. I have come. Jesus has come, standing here in front of you saying, don't you give in to your fear. I spoke a word from the beginning of time over you that said that you have a destiny and a place and a healing and a protection. Don't you give in to the fear. Don't you consider the problem. Don't consider it, because that's not truth. The truth is the promise that I spoke over you to bring you into your destiny. Don't give in. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the worry. Don't give in to the cares of this life. All you need to do is keep believing. Consider the promise. Consider the promise. So back to Romans 18, or 4, 18 to 21. So again, from the top, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. God is God. That's what I'm going to consider. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So good. You know, Joseph. Joseph, from teenager, was given a promise from God, given a dream. This is what your life is going to look like. And Joseph went through hell. His life did not look like the promise that God had spoken over him, but Joseph had a dream from God, a promise spoken to God, from God to him. Many of us have promises spoken. No, all of you have promises spoken. With long life, I will satisfy you. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I'm your healer. I'm the lifter of your head. Do not consider your problem. Consider the promise of God over your life.
Amen. That's the word. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. Hebrews 3:12-19. I heard this not too long ago, and it's Chris Valton, that's who said it, and he said, fear is the most widely accepted sin. There are some sins that we're okay with in the church. But then there are other sins that, boy, did you know that person? You know what they're up to? Sin. But fear, that's okay. That everybody does it, it's okay. Worry, that's okay. It's just a little worry never hurt anybody. Just a little fear never hurt anybody. I heard that saying and I thought, my goodness. I mean, it's not to condemn anybody, because every one of us can get into fear. But it shouldn't be something that we get into. It shouldn't be something that we accept in our life. So, Hebrews 3:12 to 19. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. Unbelief will lead you astray and make you unresponsive. So what does he say at the beginning? Search your hearts every day. Search your hearts every day. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. For we are mingled with the Messiah. If we will continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning until the end, for again, the scripture says, if only today you would listen to his voice, don't make him angry by hardening your hearts as you did in the wilderness rebellion. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into the common place of rest, all because they disobeyed him. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. I'm going to end, but man, I was getting fired up when I read this. Because it's important that you hear this. God saying to you, what do you mean if? What do you mean if? That there are things in your heart that you're saying. There's even things like Zechariah, stuff you quit praying about. Because if God. And he says this morning, what do you mean if? If you're able to believe, all things are possible. And that you would search your heart, the things that you carry of unbelief. And maybe it is because of past things that have happened in your life. Or maybe because you just can't even seem to see the big picture because it seems like such a big thing. But he says you need to think about what you're thinking about. This ties into that, because unbelief, fear, worry, the cares of life, if you would recognize that your thinking, does it line up with faith? Does it line up with belief? Does it line up with believing? Or are you thinking fear thoughts? Are you thinking worry thoughts? Are you carrying heavy things around? That you would search your hearts and know that God's saying, listen. I'm here. Look at me. Don't give in to your fear. Don't give in to your worry. Don't give in to the cares of life. All you need to do is keep believing. All you need to do, keep believing. Put away unbelief. Keep believing. Unbelief will harden your heart. Unbelief will harden your heart. And God says, I am God, all-powerful, all-powerful. I am God. All things are possible through me. But unbelief will harden your heart to say, sometimes he shows. Sometimes he doesn't. He says, it's because of your unbelief. I'm here. And that verse 19 in Hebrews 3, it is clear. This is just so sobering to me. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the promises that I spoke over you. I know the things. I know your destiny. I know where you're going. I'm excited for you. I need to get you to your inheritance. So don't let it be that it is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance. They couldn't enter into the promise. They couldn't enter in because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Not us. Not me. I choose to believe. I choose to consider the promise. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your revelation that opens our hearts up. Father, I thank you that you lead us and guide us into all things. Father, that you're always endeavoring to show us the way. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that in this place, you are revealing places in our heart where we stop believing. Places in our heart where we got disappointed, but your word is always true. Your word does not lie. And so, Father, I ask that this morning you speak that promise out once again into our hearts. And we will grab a hold of it and not let go. We won't consider the problem. We won't consider anything else but the promise that you have spoken. I thank you for revelation to spring up in the hearts of people today, Father. You are always good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.